Let's go to item 13.
From the Department of Administrative Services, really? Corporation Counsel, Office of the Personnel Review Board, and the Department of Labor Relations, requesting authorization to amend Milwaukee County General Ordinance 17.207 as it pertains to the grievance procedure. At our January meeting cycle, a follow-up report was requested.
Well, let's start with Ms. Mitchell, and then I know that Supervisor Lipscomb had questions at our previous meeting, but let's start with you.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. Following the January Personnel Committee meeting, I had received the request to respond to some additional questions that had come from the committee. The document before you is my response, but before getting into that, I just had a couple of statements I would like to make if it pleases the committee. First thing I'd like to just say is that the county executive and I both care profoundly about the employees, and we're very committed to ensuring this is a workplace that treats all employees with dignity and respect, the respect that they deserve. And we're also committed to building a service-driven workforce that is efficient and effective and meets the needs of the people of Milwaukee County. All of that said, I know that the employee-manager relationship in general can be a whole lot better. It's not great right now, and I'm not afraid to say that. We have a long way to go to build these open communications we've been talking about. So this is precisely why we're trying to attempt to develop policies and new approaches that open up these lines of communications. And I would just ask you as we work through this discussion to understand there's absolutely no ill intent behind this. No one is wanting to harm employees. We want things to be better for them, and that's why we're making these proposals. It's going to take a lot of time, and I think this is our first step. So with that, I think it was Supervisor Lipscomb who had outlined three items he wanted a response to. The first question, if I can continue, the justification for selecting a threshold of 10-day suspensions before the grievance process can be initiated. That was the first item. And, you know, honestly, there's a very short answer and a little more involved answer. The short answer is we're really putting ourselves in line with civil service rules and state statutes. Quite simply, that's what the law requires. That's what we're recommending. However, the slightly longer answer is that I know we sometimes will hear statements about concerns that abuses can take place, and what if managers are, you know, working this and suspending people just under the threshold and not utilizing the process properly. I would argue that we need to analyze how we're utilizing suspensions. Rather than develop a grievance procedure around a problem, I think we need to analyze the problem if there is one and fix it. I've looked at the civil service rule around suspensions. There's 33 different reasons why managers can suspend employees. Those are the things I think we need to look at, analyze how they're being used, and if there are abuses, stop them from happening. So that's, I guess, my longer answer to number one. I don't know if anyone has questions to that item before I continue.
Supervisor Lipscomb, I'll look to you because you are the genesis of this whole thing. Did you want to take them point by point?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess first part of it, saying that nothing shall limit the power of the department head to suspend this for a reasonable period not exceeding 10 days, I basically say that the first half of that justification, at least, is unresponsive to the issue because I didn't argue, and I don't think anyone argued the validity that a department have the ability to suspend. The question is, what's the process for an appeal or a rebuttal of the suspension or the discipline? So I guess I just want to be clear that, you know, nowhere was that the argument that you shouldn't have the ability to do it. It's a question of the process. Of a process that would prohibit arguing a suspension under 10 days. Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Item number two, then.
Sure. Then item number two in the memo, discussing options for lesser discipline measures related to employee violations and how these can be addressed under the proposed procedure or the employee handbook. As we stated in the last meeting and in our prior documents, the grievance procedure, we're required to have a grievance procedure that's very specific to two key items, workplace safety and suspensions that are, well, hold on a second, I have to grab it. Don't want to misquote it.
Okay, good.
Any comments on item number two?
Mr. Chairman, I don't disagree that a better process, that there are things that we need to do, and that as we rebuild HR or build HR, that we can get there. The problem is that there's a vacuum now. There's no history and I'd say there's a problem with confidence problem that people do not at this time feel they can go there or understand it. And so until such a process is laid out, formalized, and reviewed by us, there is a definite hole there that I just don't feel the comfort that we're there yet. I appreciate that that's the direction you want to go in and build toward it, but we're not there. And in the meantime, I'm just very disturbed by sort of what's available to people today.
Again, anybody else on item number two? If not, Ms. Mitchell, on the third point.
Thank you, Chairman. The last, describe the categories of employee issues that would no longer be handled through the internal processes. I had asked for some clarification from Supervisor Lipscomb on this, and I believe what you were getting to was sort of wanting to know what are things like now versus what they will look like. What is the process A and what is process B? And the first thing I'll state is that we, of course, we would love to have all of our employee issues and concerns coming forward internally. We don't want to see employees going to the outside and filing suits, and we never want to see that happen. That's an option to them, but we really want to see these resolved internally. It was very difficult, and I attached some documents for you to look at in terms of process. The challenge, I outlined sort of today the linear process that's followed. If there's a grievance, this is X, then Y, then Z, and that's kind of what we do. Well, when I attempt to lay out sort of a process for non-grievable things that we just are conflicts that need resolving or complaints that need to be investigated, it's a non-linear process. It's very difficult to lay out that way because what we're trying to do is propose a workforce whereby employees can choose what's the best way for me to resolve my issue. You know, is it going to my manager? Maybe not. Maybe I don't trust my manager. Maybe it's going to their manager. Maybe I need to talk to my human resources representative because that's who I trust. Maybe I don't trust them. Maybe I can go to this other and so it's not to create confusion, it's to create options for employees to resolve issues that's the most effective for them. So that's the intention behind moving to a different thought process and rather than a very constrained linear process. I don't know if that explains one or three.
And I'll look to Supervisor Lipscomb. Anything you'd like to add?
Thank you again. I guess where I get uncomfortable with this idea of sort of the multiple avenues and just pick the one that you're comfortable with or something, is that I think that there's not much certainty in my mind, and maybe others have a different view of it, but on sort of the authority of the different players in this model upon the others. So, I go to HR. They say, they agree with me. The department has a different view. HR doesn't have the authority. It does not seem under this, at least as I understand it. What's the process? What's the process to resolve it? If you could help me out,
please.
Well. Again, to answer your question, I think when we're driving toward a professional work atmosphere where problems are resolved that way, what I expect, and when I think of, to your example, if an employee is going to one of my employees in HR and saying, I think there's a problem here, I want this investigated, these are my concerns, my expectation is that the HR representative performs the investigation in a neutral manner, and determines, is there a violation of some sort, what is the issue, and reports back to say, this is what we need to do. If there's a problem with the leader or something in the management chain, those who need to come to me, and we work through those issues and address them. And we hold managers accountable. Managers, employees, they're all accountable to their actions and behaviors. There shouldn't be a difference We all need to be accountable, and it's my department's responsibility to ensure that that's happening. I can't speak to, you know, has it been happening all along, but that's what we're focusing on. So I don't know if that answers your question.
I understand the perspective, but it doesn't necessarily satisfy my concerns. But Mr. Chairman, more broadly, I'm interested in knowing there was some reference yesterday in finance to the state's grievance process, and I'm wondering if the department has looked at that at all. There was a suggestion that the state's grievance process is perhaps more employee friendly than even what we have or what's being proposed. So I'm wondering if there's been any review of that or of others.
During the process as this was designed, I personally haven't looked at it yet. So okay. I can't speak to the others on the team who are working on this.
Okay. I just I raised that, Mr. Chairman, because I think it speaks to the fact that there are other models. There are other models functioning that perhaps would be more satisfactory, and I fundamentally still have a problem with the 10-day, with this idea that you could repeatedly suspend employees 9 days at a time without recourse.
Other committee members, Supervisor Schmidt, Supervisor Rice.
Thank you. I'll go back to number one, too. I know the 10-day suspension thing was civil service, which everybody's going to be under. Eventually, you say, you know, study and look at the state thing. I think that would be probably good, or how others do it too. I know you have to start working on your own, and you have. Have you looked at? And he said, however, I intend to complete a thorough review of past suspensions. So, what history do we have on the 10-day suspensions? I guess, or you're in the process of doing that, or has been appropriate? Has been excessive in departments? Or is it just one department that's been excessive? And, you know, we heard about lawsuits. I think I know what department that probably is. So that's my question, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Yes, actually, I pulled some reports to analyze, you know, what are the patterns that we're seeing. I can't report on the analysis yet because I'm still reading through it. But what my concern is personally when I look at even what the civil service reads as, and I respect the civil service, but I question the how effective is it to utilize a suspension to punish someone? Is it really going to get the outcome you need? Though philosophically, those are the things that I want to look at and talk with Civil Service Commission and others to really understand, how are we using these? Are we using them? Is it having the effect we want? Are we improving employee behavior or attendance or whatever the issues are? Is there a link? You know, I don't know that there is, and those are the things I'm looking at. So to your question, I'm in the midst of that analysis right now, and I can't tell you the numbers right now because I don't have that done.
Okay. Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the department has set forth, I think, a reasonable approach and a basis for the changes being recommended in the resolution. You know, I think it's important that we continue to presume good faith on the part of all of the people involved, the managers and the employees, and it may take some time to work out all of the bugs. But this is a change, and I recognize that. And I hear from the employees and their former representatives saying that sometimes changes can be uncomfortable. But Ms. Mitchell, I think, brings a fresh perspective, a private sector perspective that I think is helpful to the process. And it may be foreign to some, but I think it is something that is fairly common in the private sector in terms of the grievance procedure. It does respect the employees' rights. By the same time, I think it creates a good logical structure for resolution of these problems in the workplace. And so if it's in order, Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the resolution to amend Section 17.207 as it pertains to the grievance procedure for classified and non-classified employees.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Haas?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Looking at section 2, item 2, it says formal grievance procedures shall be available to employees regarding issues relating to 1, workplace safety, and 2, matters involving the interpretation, application, or enforcement of language found in Chapter 17, and so on. Now, so we are limiting them to only discussing that workplace safety and whatever is in Chapter 17. Is that, are you shaking your head? No, I'm misinterpreting that, Ms. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Mitchell.
Thank you. I'd be happy to clarify that. Legally, we're required to offer a formal grievance procedure at a minimum on these two items, so workplace safety issues and any possible violation of ordinances and civil service rules. Everything else is what we're proposing we build into this sort of open communications process and this ability that employees have to resolve issues other ways. So I think that's maybe where the confusion is, that there's formal grievance process around certain items, and then it's, again, how do we resolve complaints, concerns, launch investigations through other means. So I'm trying to divide the two out for you.
If I may continue, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Would part of this education of that would have to happen with the employees and the managers, the supervisors, then be to go through Chapter 17? Will they understand what is in what those rules are? Or do you hold them a give them a booklet, say, this is it, you're on your own? What do you do there? Ms. Chairman?
Thank you. We have significant training ahead of us on all of this. Whatever we land on, we need to train managers, all leaders throughout the county, and help employees understand their rights. And it can be confusing. And if an employee is unsure of their rights, they need to be able to lean on their HR person to help them understand those things. So, yeah.
And if I may continue again, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
No. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many people do you have in HR?
Oh, in total? 55 to 60, maybe. That's including benefits and all the departments.
I hope that the department has a sizable staff to engage in this training with all the employees that will need to be trained. You know, we've had a lot of problems in this vacuum that has been created by Act 10. For instance, earlier we discussed vacation policies, and currently, because there's no one to take a complaint to, we have people in the correctional officers who've been here 19 years that are getting trumped by people that have been on 3 years for when they choose their vacation. Morale is at an all-time low, despite the fact the workers are not the bad guys. They are being treated like it. I think this needs more time. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to lay this over.
Okay, we have a motion to lay over by Supervisor Haas. Supervisor Lipscomb.
It was going to be. I was going to suggest a referral to back to staff, but a layover is fine. It's precedential, or it takes precedence over the motion for approval.
Correct. Anybody else? We do have two speakers from our audience. If not, let's start with Ms. Secor. I was going to go ladies first. Wow. All right, Mr. Eisner, please.
Hi, good morning again. Dave Eisner from Contract Administrator, District Council 48, Chair County Presidents Committee, and President asked me, Local 594. The document that's being passed out to you is the, as a result of Act 10, what the state of Wisconsin has put out is their grievance procedure. Now, I work with this procedure because the former Mika and Miles employees, who are now state employees, we still represent. So I do work with the state in the administration and of that policy and have, you know, been involved with that and attended hearings, actually. I just want to point out to you on page 2 of that document under grievance, and it talks about what actually constitutes a grievance and what you can contest through this grievance process. It involves demotions, layoffs, suspension, and this would be any amount of suspension, 10 days or less, 10 days or more, including letters in lieu of suspension, discharge, reduction in base pay, written reprimands, but only through the second step of the grievance procedure as set forth in this chapter. The paragraph two down from that says, an employee may file a formal grievance through this grievance procedure contesting an action where the employee alleges the employer abused its discretion in applying written agency rules, policies, or procedures, but only through the second step of the grievance procedure. It does not allow the filing of a grievance over a oral or verbal reprimand. That's something that under our former contract we had the right to do, so that's a change even there. And then on page... let's see, this would be page 6 under the section where it says retaliation prohibited. It says agencies are prohibited from retaliating against a grievant, representative, or witness who participates or is scheduled to participate in proceedings for using the grievance procedure. That's something that was standard in our former contract and other contracts. So, you know, I guess what I want to say in reference to that is that, you know, the governmental agency that passed Act 10 that put us in this situation has a less restrictive grievance procedure than is being proposed here by Milwaukee County. Less restrictive, and, you know, quite frankly, I find the proposal here before you today to be punitive. Suspension should at any level, and had been in our former contract, there should be a process for somebody to appeal that and to grieve that. I go to the document that was presented by Carrie Mitchell here, the one you're talking about today, too, which goes through a couple questions. I just want to give you some perspective here in my years, this is historical context. Back in 2000, during our negotiations with the county, the union put a proposal out there. We used to have a four-step grievance procedure that started out with the immediate supervisor. Based on our experience in the decade before that, it was basically a waste of time. The employee would have the discussion with the supervisor, and the issue wouldn't get resolved. Well, it was interesting how when it got to the second step of labor relations, I would, you know, be willing to say 50% of those grievances were able to be resolved. So something was wrong, something was broken at that step, you know, and I would say there was, you know, some issue with communication with the supervisor. So this grievance proposal, you know, that's before you is asking that as part of this process that there has to be communication with the supervisor. While I find that to be good intended, in practice, that hasn't worked. I also would just like to point out that, you know, because part of this is there's other processes available to the employees, such as, for instance, the EEOC. Back in 2002, we got a call from Corp Counsel, and it was Marianne Grimes requesting a meeting with AFSCME. The volume of complaints over FMLA that were filed with the EEOC had gotten so bad that she asked for a meeting with us to try to work out, you know, the details of that and try to make it, you know, more understandable for the employees, because the EEOC was complaining and wondering why there were so many complaints, you know, coming to them regarding the FMLA issue. So if, you know, you don't have a process where the employees feel comfortable, you know, in going to it and they're going to outside agencies, you stand a risk of running into something like that where, you know, basically, you know, you're going to have an outside agency wondering what's going on in Milwaukee County if they got all these employees filing EEOC complaints. And that was just one of the pieces there that was talked about. So, you know, our preference is that there was a motion to lay over. We would think that was appropriate just so you could review not only the state of Wisconsin's procedure but other procedures and potentially incorporate that in a county policy that would make it less restrictive and, you know, more encouraging for the employees to use. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, thank you. Again, I would like to look at this document that you were just given today under item number 13. And one of the things that has Kerry has talked about is that suspensions need to be analyzed. I agree. They need to be analyzed. Because a lot of times when you get a 2 or 3 day suspension, a lot of the issues that we deal with are like attendance issues. And a lot of them have to do with FMLA or doctor's excuses. So if I get a suspension of 5 days, right now I have the ability to sit down and say, okay, here's my documentation. What didn't you get off the phone line when I called in? What happened? What was the reason why this? And the last line, I have not been aware, made aware of problems with excessive suspensions that are less than 10 days, because we have a formal resolution process where you can sit down if it's less than 10 days and say, you know, this is my issue, this is what's going on, and be able to try to resolve it. If this is taken away, then that means that if I get a 9-day suspension, whether it's justified or not, I have no recourse to fight it. And how often can I be given a 9-day suspension? Doesn't say, because if it's my second one in 6 months, then it would go before the PRB, because that's civil service. But if my manager doesn't like me and give me a 9-day, and wait 6 months and 1 day, give me another 9-day, wait 6 months and 1 day, give me another 9-day, or if I have a budget overrun in my department, I can say, well, I need 32 days of salary for employees to make up my budget shortfall. I'm going to give this person 4, this person 5, this person 6. I can do whatever I want. You're giving them carte blanche. Am I saying that's going to happen? No. But this sure does open up the door. And listen, we do have people that have their own little kingdoms in our management. And we're not talking about the sheriff specifically at this point, but, you know, there are some department heads out there that run things however they want, and you're giving them a really big loophole to use it to then be punitive against employees. And I really believe this needs to be analyzed. We need to find out what works and doesn't work. But I truly think by doing this, this is putting the cart before the horse. Shouldn't we analyze all this and figure out how suspensions go and talk with managers and figure out what works and doesn't work and then do a process that will then address those problems that have been identified during the analysis? So at this point, I would ask you to lay it over, because we know things have to be fixed. We put proposals out there. Management has put proposals out there, but because, you know, during negotiations, that kind of fell by the wayside because of Act 10, there are things that need to be fixed, and we'll be happy to work with you on it, but give us a chance. Again, we have had no input into this at all. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have a motion for a layover. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Now, this has been it's been a tough go to listen to all the different things that what else is new. So, in trying to read this stuff and agonizing over yesterday and going through it today again, now, I think this grievance procedure is really the most important of everything. It's not going to be the same. I think we need to move forward in some of these areas. I don't know what kind of manager we could give. I didn't like that example, 4 days, 6 days, 9 days. That happens. That person's not going to be around long. I think that was not well done. But, you know, that has to be analyzed yet. I think there are some, I think we need to move forward in most of the major areas, and I voted that way previously. I'm not taking that back. In this situation, though, I do believe here that we need more analysis, as Ms. Mitchell has reported, and you know, I think in the most important area of grievances and really employee rights here. It's going to be some big changes. I don't want to turn over the apple cart completely in 1 day here. I think we need some input in this. I think we all do care about our employees, and I want to make sure that in this situation in particular, which is the most fundamental of rights, your job, and the fact that how long do I last in this job, I want to make sure that we have, you know, across the T's and dotted the I's a little bit, review state of Wisconsin or anything else. I want a more consistent and analysis on the numbers and how many there have been. And that's the reason I think that I would be supporting way over in this situation. Thank you.
Ms. Storhorst is with us. Please.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. I just wanted to emphasize that the county executive is incredibly dedicated to the county's employees. Since coming into the office, we have been amazed and astounded at the incredible things our staff does every day. At the same time, we've discovered egregious wrongs to them and worked to correct them from the day we've gotten here.
we're not going to stop doing that, and we're going to try to protect employees. If the situation that was mentioned about a departmental head having to meet a budget item and handing out suspensions to meet that, that would not occur under this administration. You know, I can't talk to how the past administrations directed their management to direct their departments, but we believe that the employees of Milwaukee County make us what we are, and we will go out of our way to allow them to have the voices they need to have a supportive environment to thrive in their jobs. And, you know, I think that we are, while we're given opportunities to create a system that is more equal and have all employees have a voice, there is going to be uncomfortable situations where we're having to look at rules that haven't been looked at in decades. And we acknowledge that that's going to be difficult and change is difficult. I just hope that both the employees and the board knows that the county executive is very dedicated to maintaining a safe, fulfilling work environment for their employees.
Okay, thank you. As chair, I'm going to take a little liberty. We have in our audience Ms. Robinson from PRB, and I know that she has no card here, and I'm just saying, if you wanted to be heard, I know that you come to us with a wealth of information and knowledge, and if you would like to add something, we would be all ears.
Well, thank you, Supervisor Borkowski and committee members. This is a very interesting discussion. As you know, at the last meeting, I submitted a memo that just expressed some concerns. And I just want to clarify that, again, the Personnel Review Board, as a neutral player in this matter, they are an impartial hearing body, quasi-judicial here in Milwaukee County. They perform the function that the Civil Service Commission has to hear whether or not the civil service rules are being properly applied. And because of that position, they need to remain neutral. My memo to you last meeting was just to make sure that the personnel committee was getting both sides of the story. I have had several conversations with Ms. Mitchell. I talked about that before. I actually did provide some suspension information. I'm not really sure, and I'm not trying to say that we want more work in my little office, but I'm not really sure that there's anybody here at Milwaukee County other than my office that could provide, that already has the information about what employees are getting suspended. We have EEO records, how many days they're getting suspended, how often that happens, who are repeat offenders, what are the common issues. So I'm not involved in this conversation. Maybe I shouldn't be, maybe it's not appropriate, but we have that information available. I think that there are some great ideas. I think that it's really important that whatever process is put into play, that we make sure that human resources goals are met, that the county executive's vision for Milwaukee County is met. I certainly have heard some great ideas as far as the linear process that was discussed. And the linear versus a nonlinear process, we actually have a nonlinear process. Although the grievance process that is in place and is outlined in the ordinance is a linear process, it is not the only means by which an employee can express that they have a concern. They can use the grievance process if they want to. We have audit. We have the ethics board. We have human resources. So there are a lot of different avenues for employees to express concerns. All of that should be incorporated. I think that we already have a lot of the offices in place that can be involved in this process. I think that human resources can achieve its goal of having a system in place where employees work at the department level to get their problems resolved, where there possibly could be, I think in the last memo I mentioned that the Personnel Review Board's only comment was that whatever was put in place ideally would have a means by which employees could maybe weigh in on whatever the grievance is. So there's that opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity for everybody to get their goals met But having said all that, and I brought this up before, and I have to admit I got a little slack, so I hope I am not going to be misunderstood again this time, because I'm not ascribing bad to anybody. However, there are circumstances that present themselves at Milwaukee County where an employee has a complaint. They've been received a reprimand or received a suspension or whatever it is. They've spoken to their supervisor and said, I feel like this is unfair. Here's why. You're kind of using me as a scapegoat because you've decided that there should be a policy in place that wasn't in place before. You're telling me that I violated it. I didn't know. Please don't give me this type of discipline. They've met with their HR person. The HR person has weighed in and said, you know, you were wrong, but no new policy is put up. The employee's issue is not resolved, and I've been working with Ms. Mitchell a little bit more, trying to make sure that I'm letting her know the stuff that's coming into my department. But employees do still come back and say, well, I already went through that process. HR already weighed in on this. So the point that I was trying to make before was just what happens to employees when they've gone through the system that is being put in place. Are they going to be able to get relief? Is there going to be a neutral party at Milwaukee County that is going to be able to hear the employee's side of the story? Right now, matters that come to the Personnel Review Board are only going to come to the Personnel Review Board, and I'm not saying it should be the Personnel Review Board that does this, but the only matters that are coming to the Personnel Review Board are matters that specifically are the 11 days or more suspensions, not a second in 6 months, or for the law enforcement officers, they have another opportunity. For employees that are in the classified civil service, the PRB is not involved in any of that. So I guess all I really have to say is whatever's put in place, employees should have a means to grieve or appeal or whatever the right word is, discipline, because sometimes employees are disciplined in for things that aren't fair, that don't make sense. I guess that's all I have to say. I have some data available, and I'd be happy to put it together to share it. As far as the suspension process, the state statute says that nothing in the statute, 6310, nothing in the statute shall limit a department head from suspending an employee. Therefore, whether we like it or not, suspensions are an acceptable means of disciplining an employee. Milwaukee County may or may not want to include that. Lots of departments use them. They use them as part of a progressive disciplinary process. There's no rubric in a lot of cases. Sometimes they don't make sense. Maybe that's the issue that needs to be looked at. There's just a lot of issues that need to be looked at. But as far as the grievance procedure that's on the table right now, respectfully, I think there's nothing wrong with a layoff. I don't understand what the urgency is in pushing this through without examining all of the issues, without doing the analysis. That's the standard HR procedure, the standard business policy, that before you would go forward and you would implement a new law or a new policy or whatever it is, that you would do all of your analysis first and you would figure out what your issues are and who's involved and who are my stakeholders and what do we need to look at and what is the outcome of this and what is the cost. And you look at all of that stuff first. Then after you've looked at all of your information, you say, okay, here is what we've determined we need, and this is what we are going to do to make sure that our management goals are met and that our employees are secure. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Comments, questions? All right. We have a motion for a layover, and if there's no other testimony, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Caesars?
No.
Rice?
No.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Four ayes, three noes. The motion to lay over is approved.